What's up? This is Marshall Couture, also known as Complex in Hip Hop Circles. And, excuse me, you are listening to the Escape Artist Podcast. And, yeah. What's going on? It's a new week. Well, it's Thursday, so I guess it's not a new week. But, new podcast. Hope you guys are doing awesome. Hope you guys are making some strides with your art, with your marketing, with whatever you're trying to put out there. I hope people are, you know, checking your stuff out, making a few purchases. That's cool. Or if you're just more of a hobbyist, you know, I hope you're just growing in your art and getting better and enjoying it, finding some time here and there to get to it, you know. It's always a struggle, especially if you have a day job, obviously, and then more if you have kids or family, you know. So, but it is a good way to escape, you know, just like we call it the Escape Artist Podcast. It's trying to get out of this 9-to-5 as far as it goes with our regular jobs, and trying to make something of this art thing that we're doing, and the music too. Whatever creative endeavors you're into, it is that. But you know, it's got a couple few meanings. It's also, you know, just the fact that many times for us artists and musicians and different creative people, our creativity is an outlet. It's a form of escape from this crazy world, you know. I am a realist, you know. I definitely am a realist. I probably a lot less of an idealist than I used to be. I guess that comes with age, maybe, sometimes. Not that I've given up hope 100% on the ideals and stuff, but you know, you go through this life and you realize sometimes things aren't turning out quite the way you thought it would and stuff. And, you know, it's cool. You roll with the punches, keep going, keep pushing forward. One thing I'm noticing, have been realizing for a while now is, you have to carve out your own place, you know, in this world. You can't just kind of take advantage of situations that fall into your hands, you know. I mean, obviously, you want to do that when that happens, you know. But often, if you don't figure a way to make what you want happen, then it's not going to happen. And you're going to be you're going to be left to the plans of someone else. Which is fine, you know, to a certain extent, especially if that's something you're okay with, you know, career-wise especially. I mean, obviously, in other personal things, you don't want that to happen. But, you know, career-wise, you know, sometimes it's okay to work for another person. Sometimes that's the kind of person you are. Sometimes that's the way I am, you know. I like being able to work, you know, with my hands and then kind of figure out things in my head. Maybe if it's not the type of thing where you have to, like, be paying a lot of attention. Sometimes there's these kind of almost meditative type of tasks you have to do throughout the day. And, you know, it's just something you don't really need to think. You just need to make sure you put, you know, you do what you're doing, and it's just kind of automatic, and then your brain is left to kind of think about things sometimes. And yeah, I've always been a daydreamer, but I'm not the only one. No, but I remember when I was younger, I always wanted to have a website. It's funny, before blogging and all that stuff became popular and the internet was new and stuff, I always kind of thought, you know, it would be so awesome to just be able to, like, I have so many ideas and thoughts in my head, and, you know, I'd love to be able to just, like, write, like, about all these different things, you know, different topics, religion, art, politics, whatever, anything that I'm interested in. And, you know, at that time when I was younger, and when a lot of us were younger, that the internet was either new or not even around yet. You know, I was born in 1979. There was no internet then, at least not to anyone I knew, or even computers. We didn't have personal computers. So, you know, it's definitely come a long way, and it's cool to have that outlet now. And it's funny that I always wanted to do that, but it didn't have really, I mean, the only option I could really think of was, you know, write books or something, you know. Or I'm sure there's other things, you know, get a radio show. But you always, like, kind of feel panicked, like, oh, I got to fit all that stuff, the different interests, into one thing, because I want to talk about all of them, you know. But now it's quite easy to have a blog about different things, you know, different blogs about different things, or different podcasts about different things. It's really cool to have that, and I hope to expand. You know, right now my podcast reach is pretty much just, and all my doings on the internet is pretty much centered around art and music as well, but mostly art. It used to be mostly music. But, you know, hopefully that'll expand. I mean, I still have a lot of areas just within the realm of art and music to expand. I don't want to be just busy for no reason either, you know. I want to have somewhat of a focus. But yeah, you know, just some thoughts a little bit. I guess I'll get into some updates here. Last week, actually it's this week, because I recorded it actually 2 weeks ago, but that the Toon Boom episode, which is the last episode, you know, I talked about my experience making my music video, and it was pretty cool. You know, I put it out there, and of course, you know, you gotta tag Toon Boom on there, and you know, I even put, you know, when I did the Twitter thing, you know, I put the at Toon Boom thing or whatever, you know, so it could refer back to the site and all that. And it was pretty cool. The actual company Toon Boom retweeted it, and then I put it out one more time. I didn't want to do it too many times, you know. I'm not trying to, like, take advantage of the situation like that, but I put it out on, like, a Sunday. I don't know, I can't remember, it was on the weekend, but it was at a kind of an odd time, you know. So I always like to at least post my podcast twice, like once during the week and once in the on the weekend, because that's when I usually post it. And as I've said before, I can't help but publish things right after I finish making them, so that's what happens. And funny thing, I mean, this is just a sidebar, but, like, it's funny, like, I always thought, you know, you'd want to make your announcement about the podcast at a specific time that's, like, when people are on, especially probably during the week, not so much the weekend, because a lot of times the internet is actually a little quieter on the weekend, it seems, which makes a lot of sense. People actually go out, you know, a little bit, take care of tasks and stuff, do whatever they got to do, go to parties. And so I always think it's probably not good to publish stuff on the weekend so much, but, you know, that's when I get all my stuff done, so that's when I end up publishing things a lot of times. But then I'll always put, like, a reminder in the week. If you missed it, you know, I check out the new podcast or something, or whatever it is that I've done. So I did that. It's kind of what I normally do. So I put it out there twice with the at Toon Boom thing, and, you know, Toon Boom, the company, you know's Twitter feed, they retweeted me, and that is, like, so cool. Like, and, you know, that's kind of par for the course. You know, a lot of companies are getting into, you know, Twitter and Facebook and all that, and if they see, they're learning now that, and I'm not saying Toon Boom might have been doing this all along, but not all companies recognize that, especially ones that have been around for a long time. And a lot of people are realizing that they need to use Twitter, at least partially, to help them out, and Facebook and all that. So they retweeted me, which was awesome. I used this program called Buffer App. Go to bufferapp.com. It's pretty cool. You can, you know, it's one of those things where you can schedule your tweets and Facebook posts and stuff, and it can go to, a few different sites, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn. I think there's another one, but I don't use LinkedIn in the other one. So it's a cool app. I've talked about it before, and it schedules your tweets and stuff, but it schedules them and it doesn't have to, you can post it right away, but it schedules them in more optimized times during the day, when they know is good times for people to see it, I guess. And you can put it to your own times and stuff too, and add times, but I tend to go with theirs because from what I've read, they've done research to find out what are better times, to post stuff. So, but I also do it so that I, post it sometimes just if I'm in the moment, type of thing. But one thing that's cool about it, and, I go to Google Analytics and I try to look at stuff to see what's going on. And I'm not obsessive over it, but I do check it. It pops up with my web browser. It's one of the things I have saved as a tab. So I check it every day, but I don't really take much stock in it because, honestly, I don't really understand a lot of it, Things go up and down. It doesn't make sense. I do notice that, obviously, when I'm linking to my website, I get more hits. And when I'm putting posts out and stuff, I obviously get more hits from that. You can tell when my activity is up on that kind of stuff, the hits on my site are up. And almost always exactly, and it's not necessarily a large amount, but that's what happens. So obviously that makes sense, but there's a lot of data in Google Analytics that I just don't understand. I don't know what all the terms mean, like bounce rate and click-throughs and whatever, and what they actually mean and stuff. I mean, there's little descriptions I kind of know, but I'm still pretty sketchy on understanding it. But I try. But on the Buffer app thing, it will show each post, like the analytics for each post, how many clicks, how many views, there's a thing where it says how many potential people were reached, which is usually way more than the people who actually look at the thing. But it's a cool thing, and it makes a lot more sense. I can really see, a few simple stats that for each post, for what it is, what happened with that. And I like that. I like to look at these things. It's good to know. I'm not basing, what I do off of it 100%, but, it's good to be informed about that, and then it may inform some of my decisions, but I do still go from the gut, and I think that's important to even if you see stats going certain ways, it's good to go with your instinct, because sometimes, a lot of times, I think that trumps, analytics to a certain degree. There's a balance. So anyways, so it was cool. Like, when Toon Boom retweeted me, I got way more views than I ever, or way more potential, their outreach was, like, my general potential reach is around 500 to 600 on any given tweet, and then for Facebook, it's another, 500 or 600, supposedly. That's the potential reach. Now, how many people actually view it, it's, 2, 3, 5, whatever, it's small. I mean, people might view it and not just click like, or not click favorite, or clicks a lot of times are pretty small. I'll get one or two clicks here or there. on if I put a link. But so, you know, I don't know. I don't know how good those analytics are or not, but because I feel like I must get more clicks than that, but maybe not. Who knows? But anyways, it's cool to see, you know, like I said, my potential reach is about 500 per post usually, and then if somebody else retweets me, sometimes it'll kick it up to 1,000. If a couple people retweet me, it'll kick it up to a couple thousand, you know, or whatever, a few people, whatever. Depending on who does it. It's cool to see, you know, who has, you know, more stuff, whatever. But then, you know, Toon Boom, like I said, retweeted it, and it was, it went up to like 6K, you know, and that was cool. Obviously they're going to have a lot of followers. They have a very popular program out there. Everybody's connected to them. Now, how often do you really pay attention to tweets from companies? You know, it really depends on how engaging they are in their Twitter feed and all that. You know, probably a lot of times you ignore them. I know I do. Toon Boom I might pay more attention to because I'm using the program. But, yeah, that's how that goes. So, you know, but it was just cool to see that the reach was far more, you know, and stuff. So, anyways, I've talked a lot about that, way more than I probably should. So that was cool that, you know, the whole point was that, you know, I got a little bump from Toon Boom. That was nice. So thank you, Toon Boom. And if there are any new listeners to the podcast because of it, thank you very much for stopping by, listening. And, you know, this is kind of a journal podcast. I do it while I'm driving, on my commute. And, you know, I, like I said, I talk about art and music and the processes of it and the marketing side of things. And, you know, it's kind of journaling my journey to, from having a day job and having some struggles and not making too much money and stuff to hopefully one day, making at least a living, you know, off of some of this creative stuff. And, also just the love of the art and the music and stuff and, you know, making things. 'Cause that's really what I'm all about, you know. I've been doing this for this art and music stuff for, well, I'm 33 now. And, you know, I've been doing it pretty much since preschool, the art stuff. Like, I mean, everybody drew when they were younger, you know, but I literally knew, even way back then, like, that I didn't know what I wanted to do necessarily. I didn't know that much about even the world, but I just knew that I had a passion, or I really was into this art thing and this creative thing. You know, my favorite thing was to grab my art folder at my preschool and just go to town. Like, if all the other kids were playing, I'd rather be drawing, you know, or coloring with crayons or whatever I was doing back then. I actually still have my folder from way back then, which is crazy. I think I do. I know I used to, and then it kind of fell apart, and I think I put all the stuff in another thing, or I don't know. We'll see. I probably should drag some of that stuff up. I actually put a post up recently of an old high school drawing, and I'm going to start putting that up more. This kind of leads me into my next kind of update. I'm going to be blogging more. Like I said, I see in the Google Analytics, obviously when I post something and I shoot it out to people pointing to my site, you know, I get more traffic. Well, I need to drive more traffic to my site, you know. Hopefully, you know, I can have people click on my comic and read it, and because it's up there for free, the first glyph comic I did, and it's free to read. And then, you know, maybe some people will actually want to purchase a signed version or an artist edition or, you know, my other Glyph comic or some of my music or whatever, you know. I'm never going to get people coming to my site and buying stuff if I don't drive them there. If I don't try to direct them and guide them to my website. It's kind of the point, you know. So I'm going to be blogging more. Don't have a definite plan in place yet, but I do want to make it a regular thing where I blog like 2 or 3 times a week. You know, some people blog multiple times a day. That sounds crazy to me. They obviously have too much time on their hands. But, or that's, they just are making money and doing it and have the time to do it. So that's cool. But, yeah, so it's going to be short kind of blogs. I'm not going to try to inundate you guys with, like, crazy amounts of content. I mean, once in a while I might have, like, a monster post that really just goes deep into something, you know. But it'll be something that's worth your while, you know. I'm all about trying to give you guys something that's helpful for you or entertaining. Something that is not a waste of your time, you know. And also just journaling things, you know. And that's why, like, when I do a post where it shows a drawing or something I've done, like an old drawing, I'll go into it, I'll write a few sentences about my thoughts of stuff, you know, that I was thinking probably back then, hindsight things. But I'll keep it short and sweet, you know. Those kind of posts I'll keep short and sweet because, you know, if it doesn't have a ton of value, I'm not going to, you know, bore you guys with it. So, yeah, I don't know. We'll see. I suppose I'll do whatever I feel like doing. But like I said, you know, I want to provide value. I want to do reviews and stuff. I've always wanted to do a lot of reviews. I've done some in the past. I recently did that review of the Pandia comic, which right now, if you go to either, I like to go to Process Diary because I can't spell Pandia. It's such a hard word to spell. But Paul Kijiji's comic, Pandia, I'll put a link in the show notes. He just recently finally got to a point where he can put up his comic, his physical comic, on sale, both issue 1 and 2 on sale. The physical comic from his website, which I think is super exciting. I mean, you can buy it from Indie Planet and stuff. That's where I got mine. But, you know, he had to do a lot of finagling to figure out, I shouldn't say finagling, but just research to figure out what was the best way to sell comics and ship them, because he lives in Australia and it's really expensive to ship them. He did a lot of research. He's been talking about it on his podcast, The Process Diary. So go to processdiary.com, check out his podcast, check out his comics. It's all linked over there too, so check out his comics. Buy them. I totally recommend them. Really awesome comic. And he thinks really deeply about writing, and he puts together a really action-packed story that's definitely entertaining. It's a, kind of a quick read, you know, which I like. I like that type of storytelling. I don't want to sit there and read, like, a bunch of talking head scenes. It's not, if I see that in a comic, I probably won't buy it, you know, usually. I like action. That's how I like my comics. And he definitely brings the action, but it's not surface stuff. It's got, you know, a lot of depth to it. And especially if you listen to the podcast too, you know how deeply he thinks about this stuff and how much he gets into developing these characters and the world and everything. And he's working right now. He finished the script for issue 3, and he's now starting to pencil things out for issue 3. He's got almost up to issue 6 planned out. It's going to be a graphic novel, and you know, it's awesome to follow him as he figures this thing out. And he also talks a lot about conventioning and just how to figure out these things, like the money stuff that artists don't like to think about. He gives you a good dose of reality on his podcast. So go check him out, processdiary.com, Paul Kijiji, awesome, awesome stuff. And he's also a listener to the podcast, so thank you, Paul, for listening. So yeah, I'm trying to think of what other updates. Like I said, got into the Toon Boom thing. Haven't messed with that animation stuff since I had my vacation a couple weeks ago. It's just been really busy. We've had my sister-in-law has been here for about a month or so. She's been at our staying at her place for. She lives in, you know, a whole nother state, so she had to fly here. It was just a good visit, really, really good visit. But we've been really busy, doing family stuff and just hanging out, visiting. So, you know, not a lot has happened art-wise, but I have got some stuff done. I just got commissioned by Matt Greenia to do some drawings, and I finished those up, and I'm gonna send those to him very soon. That was really fun to do. Did a couple other commissions for Bob Learned. He does. I'll have to put his link in the show notes, because I think his website is oxymoronpress.com. But if it isn't, if you don't find it there, go ahead and go to the show notes. I'll have it there. But he does this Halloween thing. He does like a Halloween card or whatever with illustration that he sends to people. And he also does a Halloween coloring book every year. And he'll ask different artists to just throw in if they want a drawing of like a monster or something. And then he prints them up. He lets people print them up. So you can print them up and put them, give them out for, like, with your candy and stuff to trick-or-treaters. Really cool, fun thing to do. And so I think of it as kind of a commission, but what I actually did was I took two old drawings that I inked, but I never really, you know, they were more just for fun sketches, but they were cool, like, one was a cool alien drawing, and the other one was a cool, like, zombie drawing. And he asked me to throw some background in there, so I went in and did some work on the backgrounds, and they came out looking really cool. I put them up on Sketch Daily Facebook group, so if you want to go over there, check those out. I'll probably put them up on my regular feed, too. Maybe I'll blog about it. That's the type of thing I'll probably blog about, you know. Throw a couple images in there. Just write a little bit, like what I'm saying to you right now about it. And then throw the blog out there for people to see. So, yeah. Really cool. I like the art for that so much that I might just even color it and create prints or something for the comic convention I'm doing. The Paint and Pixel Fest, Northampton, Mass. That's coming up in October 20th. I'm going to be doing that with Michael Vallad. That's going to be awesome. Working on preparing for that. So yeah, I guess that's enough for updates. Don't want to make this too long. It's not a crazy in-depth podcast this week. I got some cool comments. From the Toon Boom episode and from the episode where I was kind of down, I actually got a little critique on that one. Constructive criticism. just talking about the way I talk and stuff is a little rough, and I'm not necessarily a great speaker. That's not what they said, but they're like, you know, commenting on some of the things. And I totally agree. You know, I don't think of myself as a great speaker. I think of this as a place where I'm finding my voice. I'm journaling things. But I do want to progressively get better to the point where maybe one day this will be kind of more of a professional podcast, or I'll launch another one, a different podcast that's more concise and stuff. But for now, it's kind of a journal thing. I'm finding my voice and stuff, and I'm trying to get better, you know, trying to be more upbeat. Sometimes I can sound a little down, but that's okay with me. But I don't want to do that all the time, just maybe once in a great while. I want to mostly sound upbeat, because I am. I'm excited about this stuff. Another thing the person said was like, that they hear me like snort or something. Like it's a habit that I do and it's not good. And I agree that snorting is not good, but I didn't think I snorted ever. I don't remember. I don't know. Since then I haven't had a chance to re-listen to any of these podcasts, but I'm going to be paying attention to that and see if that's true. I know I do that a little bit, that kind of thing. That's something I do. I do cough once in a while. I try to not do it too much. Coughed in the intro of this podcast. I don't know. I don't remember snorting. So anyways, we'll see. I'll try to take note of that, because I don't want to be annoying to people, that's for sure. But I was glad to get some constructive criticism. Feel free, guys, if you have something to say that you think is, as long as it's on the constructive side, I'm cool with a little constructive crit. If you're mean, I'll probably delete your thing, though. I'm not into getting into feuds or anything with people. But if it's constructive criticism, cool. And then I had another comment, some more comments about Toon Boom, somebody who has been animating for a long time, and they had some good helpful advice. They told me that Toon Boom actually isn't made for full-on movie production. They confirmed what I already suspected, and so that's good to know. And they said it's actually better anyways with whatever programs you're using to develop the animation scene by scene, and you just do one scene at a time, and then you take all those scenes and use a movie editor to put it all together with the audio. That's the better way. And he told me there's some certain techniques for syncing all this stuff that work really well that he's going to help me out with. So that's really cool. That was Dan Burke. I don't think he put up a website or anything there, but thank you very much for that advice. And I'm going to check out the stuff you're talking about for sure. He suggested Adobe Premiere Elements as a cheap movie maker to use. And I found out, he said it's like $99. I found out on Amazon I can get it for like $65. Don't have the money right now, but if I get some more commissions, some more purchases, I might just save all that up so I can get this movie thing, because it'll be helpful for my wife too, because she does video things, and I really need something better than Windows Movie Maker. This isn't, from what the little research I did it on this program, it's not, you know, a professional, you know, you can make a blockbuster hit on this thing necessarily, but, you know, it's cheap enough for me to get it, if I can, you know, like I said, make a little money with the art. And so I'm looking forward to grabbing that and using it to the best of my ability. You know, Toon Boom is not the best program either. Like I said, they have the more professional levels, like Animate and stuff like that. So I try to be resourceful and use what I have to do the best I can. and then I'll upgrade as I have more money. So, yeah, thanks for that. Shout out to Dan Burke. And I guess that brings me into another thing I was thinking about, was I'm thinking about the idea of making, like, intros, like, seeing if I can do that as a service, like, either animation intros. And a friend of mine, the thing is a friend of mine asked me if I could do an intro for them for YouTube. I told him, yeah, I can try it, see what I can do. You know, I asked him what he wanted. Come to find out, the stuff he showed me that he wants, that's like the stuff that he wants, it's 3D modeling stuff. You know, it's like a 3D intro, like a CGI type of thing. So I'm like, okay, well, I don't know how to do that, but I can run over to Blender and grab that program, because it's an open source 3D modeling program, and I can learn it. And if it's not a big time crunch for you, you know, I'll see what I can do. So, guess I'm getting into a new thing, too. Not one that I really intended on doing. I definitely like 2D animation way more than I like 3D animation, even in just watching and viewing. Like, I can dig these Pixar things and all that, but I would much rather watch a 2D animation. It's just my taste, I guess. But I do think it's cool. It's amazing what these people are doing. And one person I'm really amazed by is actually Paul Kijiji, because if you have checked out his comic, you'll know that with his vehicles and stuff, like certain elements within his comic, he uses 3D modeling. That's what he does for a living, for 3D modeling. So, you know, he can make it look very natural. Like, you almost don't, if you didn't know for sure, you might not even, like, if you didn't know that he does 3D modeling, you might not even know that that's what that is in the comic. It doesn't stick out awkwardly like it does in some people's work. Very well done. So, Blender. Looking up tutorials, I watched, like, 10 or so tutorials on that. Yeah, I'm thinking about possibly doing, I don't want to get into it, like, too crazy, like, I don't want it to be like yet another thing, you know, but I am going to slowly maybe learn it, just because, more for the fact that it could be something I could provide as a service and make, you know, some money on, and something that I'm not so, like, attached to artistically. You know, I'm not obsessed over, like, I want this to be the art form I created type of thing. I don't know. I have a little bit more distance because it's not my preferred thing, basically. So I'm thinking maybe that, and maybe even also animated, 2D animated things with Toon Boom, like intros and just bumpers or whatever people might need for their videos and stuff. You know, maybe I can make a little money from that. I think there's probably a need out there for that. So, thinking about that. A mini topic, and this will be short and sweet. You know, I'm coming up to the end pretty soon. But a mini topic I did want to talk about was kind of the quality versus quantity type of thing. Not being so precious type of thing. Had a good talk with my buddy Michael Vlad. We hung out for a little while. I needed to help him with some things because his computer went down, and we went over to Staples and printed up his comic and stuff, which was awesome. He was able to get it printed up for a lot cheaper than he got it before, so I'm really happy that he was able to do that and I could be of help to him. Now we just got to get him up online selling this stuff. He's got a bunch of people who are asking for his comic, and he's got to figure out a way to get it up there. So hopefully that'll come soon. But yeah, really awesome to hang out and talk with him. He's a good buddy. You know, he's becoming especially a good buddy. You know, we talk a lot online, and every time we get together, we just can't help but just blab for like hours. You know, I think the last time before this, I got a sunburn talking to him because we were outside. Like, it's just, it's a cool, we both like kind of come from the same type of thing a little bit. Like, we both came up during the image years and stuff, and we're really digging all that stuff. And, you know, he's kind of been more into some of the more underground stuff for way longer than I have, and more into the anime stuff. But, you know, and we have a little bit different taste in music, but we also both like hip-hop and stuff, and more underground indie stuff we like and stuff. So anyways, it's cool. We have a lot of common interests, but we're not exactly the same type of thing, so we can share a lot of things. Really cool. But, you know, we were talking a little bit about the tendency to want to be too precious with your artwork and stuff like that. And it's really tough. It's a tough thing to break. I'm with you guys right there when you get to that point where it's like analysis paralysis type of thing. Like, I don't know. Like, I still do it. Like, even with these commissions, I'm trying to learn how to be loose with the commissions, because it should be a kind of a quick drawing, one-time thing. But I tend to treat it more like a illustration project. Like, I'll send people ideas of stuff, you know, and be like, are you looking for this or more like this? But maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I should just be like, okay, you commissioned me, I'm gonna draw it, you get what I give you. I don't know. How do people normally do commissions? I'd like to hear what you guys think. And obviously, I mean, that was really harsh the way I said it. You know, I probably shouldn't have said it that harshly. But I want to please people, you know, when it comes to that, obviously. You know, somebody pays for something and you want to give them something that they're going to like, you know. You know, you think about it at a convention, and somebody says, oh, draw Batman for me, and you just draw it. You know, it's not like, but at least you have the real-time thing there. You can ask them maybe a couple questions and be like, oh, well, do you want me to draw the old school Batman or the new school Batman or whatever, you know, whatever. So through emails and stuff, it can take longer and all that. And then you're tempted to do thumbnails and all that, and I don't know. So, but being precious breaking away from that is really tough, especially when you're working on a project for somebody, an illustration project. You want to please the customer. A lot of times people are pleased with a lot less than your, like us artists, we tend to put like a big standard on things that maybe the customer might not have that same standard, or hold you to that same standard. And, you know, I don't know. A lot of times, you know, we just get too deep into it, and we need to just push it out. You know, sometimes my thing that I get into is like, you know, I want almost to reinvent the wheel. Like, I want to come up with something so amazing and unique, you know. But sometimes when the customer says, I want you to draw, you know, a picture of a horse or whatever, they really just want you to draw a picture of a horse. Like, they don't necessarily need you to come up with the most amazing, like, pose or, like, camera angle, or they don't, you know, it doesn't have to be as complicated as we like to make it. You know what I mean? Like, they're happy just to get the art of their subject matter that they want, you know? So, in your style. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a tough balancing act. I'm trying to learn how to be... Like, I've learned actually a lot to be way more playful than I used to be. That's the key, you know? Stay playful with the stuff. And don't be so precious. I think one technique... There's a couple techniques, and I've gone through this before with you guys. But one that I talk about a lot is, you know, go just do stuff with a Sharpie, or at least loosen up first with some sketches with a Sharpie, you know, because you're not going to be exact. The Sharpie bleeds. It's not the perfect tool, you know. Even people who try to do more professional work with Sharpies, you know, it still leaves you with something to desire. I mean, some people are amazing with it, but, you know, it just, the lines just don't come out as nice as it would if it was another kind of marker or ink or brush or whatever. So go in with a Sharpie. Go in even with a ballpoint pen, you know. Just sketch, whatever. Loosen up. Some of my best drawings end up being from that, you know. And I'll even use them as a print or something, you know, maybe, because they happen to just have been good enough because I was loose and I wasn't worrying about everything. You know, I just went in to the page and drew some stuff. That's kind of how these commissions with the monster things went. Those were just sketches that I did. They were daily sketches that I posted up on Sketch Daily. And now they've become something that will maybe become a print that I could either sell or give away for free or whatever. And also this little coloring book thing. So, pretty awesome, pretty fun. And honestly, I kind of like those better than the stuff that I noodle over, you know? And I was saying the same thing to Mike, you know, he's struggling with some illustration work that he's got to do. And, you know, he gets even more detailed than I do. And he has a rough time sometimes. And shoot, I mean, it's very common. I think we all struggle with that. And, you know, I love his loose stuff, though. He's done some sketch cards of his character Dorian. And you could tell those were a lot more loosely done. And they have an energy to them, you know. And that energy is important, I think. So, yeah. I actually said something to him that I've thought in my mind a few times, and I've never said on the podcast, I don't think, but, you know, the way I'm developing my style is, my style is whatever I can do quickly, you know, and it's not quite that, because I do noodle over stuff, take too much time doing stuff, but I'm trying to make my style be that which I can do quickly. If I can't do it quickly, it's not worth being incorporated into my style, because I just don't have the time. I just simply don't have the time economy, you know? I wish I did. I wish I could sit there and draw something forever. And there probably will be projects where I do that, you know, where I take, you know, leave stuff on my desk over periods of a day and take time to finish it. But when it comes to illustration, when it comes to commissions, when it comes to mini comics, when it comes to some of these projects, most of the projects, hopefully, my style is going to be what I can do quickly. If I can't do it quickly, it's not worth being part of my style. Not if I want to monetize this stuff. You know? And I don't think I'm sacrificing quality. You know, I'm finding out what I can do quickly that's quality. And, you know, I think you get better, and I think that those drawings oftentimes come out a lot better. Like I said, you know, you're not so precious, you're loose, the energy's there. I think a lot of animators find this. I mean, look at Ted Secco, like, paperengine.com, Ted Secco, he's, you know, go watch some of his videos where he puts together a page. Now, obviously, his stuff isn't very detailed, it's very much focused on a graphic quality, you know, thick ink lines and strokes and ink spotting and you know. But, I mean, this dude whips up a full huge page in, you know, minutes, you know. And the energy is huge on his stuff. Everything he does packs that punch of energy, you know. It's awesome. And a lot of people really dig his stuff, you know. And I do too, you know, because it's got that. Now, you don't have to necessarily be as blocky and graphic-y as him with your stuff, you know, but maybe do some exercises where it's like, okay, I'm going to set this egg timer here for 5 minutes, and I'm going to finish a drawing. And then, I mean, that's how they teach you in school, like in drawing class. They'll say, you know, do three minute, even just one minute, gesture drawings, and then do 3 minute gesture drawings, and then do 5 minute, you know. Obviously gestures aren't, that's not a finished product, but you can kind of do the same thing with your own art, you know. I think within 5 minutes I could probably come up with something pretty cool, you know, penciled, maybe at least just penciled, or maybe penciled and inked, you know. Try to put, I don't know why I haven't gotten one yet, but I need to get, like, a wind-up egg timer. I don't like the digital ones, because you're, like, clicking buttons, and, like, you, I don't know. For some reason, if I do the digital ones, maybe if I have it set to a certain time, and I just click start, I can do it. Maybe I will get a digital one, because then that'll be even quicker. But, I do want to get a timer. Obviously, you can do it with your phone, but I find when I have to actually open my phone up and do certain things, like, I don't end up doing it if I try to do it with my phone. So, I just want to get something that's sitting by my art desk, bam, throw 5 minutes on, do some sketches, 5 minute sketches, see where that goes, you know? And save the quality maybe for my floppy comics or something, like the big comics, or animation or something. But the quality is going to come too. Like, I think you can do quality quickly as well. And honestly, with most of the stuff that we're making, it's not worth sitting there and noodling over for all over the place. What's important is the storytelling. Obviously, the art has to look cool. And I want my art to look really cool. I love sitting there noodling over stuff. But, you know, so there will probably be things that I do that are like that. But, you know, like I said, like, people read through these comics quickly, you know. People will watch an animation. You know, this music video I'm doing is less than 3 minutes. It'll take me hours upon hours and upon hours to make it, even if I do it as quick as possible, you know? But I'm into it, so I'm willing to take the time to do it, you know, whatever. So, but, you know, trying to do, like, a crazy detailed animation, you know, maybe I'll work my way up to it at some point, but trying to do something like that, there's a lot of people out there doing this crazy detailed stuff. And you know what? A lot of these comic artists do some amazing page work, but they don't get hired because they can't put out pages quick enough. You know? And honestly, people read through it so quickly. They don't appreciate the art as much as they should, you know? They don't appreciate that you've taken a whole day to put together this one comic page. Or more than one day, you know? My comic pages for the glyph stuff, actually, I could do like 3 pages in a day, you know? But those pages weren't as detailed as I could have gotten. You know, different techniques. For the first one, I used the brush a lot, so that made it quicker. You know, and also the pages that I was drawing on, they weren't like big pages like you know, see the floppy comic artists do, you know. They were much smaller, like even smaller than an actual comic book, because I was doing mini comics. But they were definitely way bigger than the mini comic size, so, you know, the quality stays good. But yeah, I could whip those up quickly with a little planning, just a little planning. And, you know, some of my art isn't all that great in those, though, but some of it is pretty cool. Like, the looseness and the energy is there, and people comment on that and enjoy that. People enjoy my storytelling from what I'm hearing, you know? So that's really the point. You know, trying to learn how to be quick with quality, you know? That's, I think, a good goal. I mean, look at Kirby. He pumped out pages. He had to. Every page he pumped out was money, and he had enough to get by. He never really got rich off of it or anything, you know? It's how, you know, it's about working hard, learning how to work a little quickly, you know? I'm not saying don't take time out and don't put quality into it, you know? I'm not saying put out crap work. I don't agree with that, because honestly, that's a big thing, you know. Oftentimes, in the comic book store or at a convention, I won't buy a comic because the art isn't appealing to me. And if it looks like it's lazily done, I probably won't grab it. But if the art is amazing, that's a huge selling point. So, you know, it is what it is, but try not to be so precious, and try, because like I said, you get more energy. So I'm not going to keep harping on the same thing, but, you know, I feel you, I know how it is, easy, way easy to noodle over stuff, even if it's a simple drawing. But yeah, it's also good to at least when you're doing some sketches, practice drawing fastly. Fastly, is that even a word? But, I mean, look at these animation people, you know, they have to draw really fast. They have to make page upon page upon page. I mean, especially with the traditional forms of animation, you know, they have to learn to draw super fast. And I think it only helps them, you know, helps them to get better. So yeah, that's about it. I'm going to call it quits for this episode. Like I always say, I really appreciate you guys listening. Thank you so much for listening. You guys are awesome. Your comments are awesome. Come by the site, plexhop.com. Check out the show notes. I do spend time on my show notes. You know, I don't write a book or anything, but I put a little description of what the podcast is, and, you know, I put all the links, you know, I try to link up everybody and help promote other people, and, you know, there's resources there, you know, when I talk about it, I put links there, so stop by there. Like I said, again, thank you for the comments. If you want to commission me, the commissions are open. There's some other things too. Oh, I wanted to say, if you'd like to be on the podcast, feel free to email me an audio clip, like record something. Email me at plexhop.com. Or I have a Google phone number right up on the site, right up at the top right. So you can leave a message there and I will put you on the podcast. I'd really like to have some people do that. You know, I think it would be cool. Also, I'm looking to do interviews at some point soon. Still haven't gotten that ramped up yet, but hopefully that'll come soon. Maybe next episode. We shall see. Now my schedule is hopefully lightening up a little bit. So we'll see. But yeah, thank you again for listening to the Escape Artist Podcast, and I will talk to you next week. Later.